thunder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. If God is rewarding you for your faithfulness and it is your time, turn to your neighbor and say, it's my time. If it's your time. Listen, but if it's not your time, hold up. But if it's not your time, turn to your neighbor and say, my time is coming. Come on now. You can tell the difference when it's your time and it's your time coming. Because it may be somebody's season right now and not yours. But you can rejoice with them while they rejoice, because you know your season is on the way. It's already been scheduled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory. This morning. They ain't have much in them. They just had to get that little bit extra out. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Get your Bible. Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Clay Evans said, when you are in that place where the Spirit is moving, if you hinder him and you don't get it out, that'll make you sick. So they had to get that little last bit out there. They wouldn't have been able to hear the word good. Turn your Bibles in this month of love, and we're celebrating the text of love, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17. Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17. Recorded are these words: a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I want to talk about the love of a friend. I didn't say a so-called friend. I said the love of a friend. And the context of this word, it's real, it's constant, consistent, it's true, it's untainted. It is that is pure. that kind of love is so rich and so wonderful, so valuable, and yet so very far from the reality of commonality. You don't find it every day and in every friendship. And so when we look at the writer of this book of wisdom, it doeth us well to see what the word says, a friend. And you literally could say a real friend. Loveth at all times. The word friend has been interpreted in many ways, and depending on the persons doing the interpretation, the word loses many times the real value. It loses many times the real essence. It loses many times the real connection with what the biblical word friend carries with it. Sometimes it's through wisdom and through our own experiences, you've learned not to call everybody you associate with your friend. They are associates. They are acquaintances. They are, for a perhaps common vernacular used, my homie, my partner, my all of it. But they ain't all friends. I want you to know that a real friend is not a fickle friend, not a phony friend, not a fair weather friend. A real friend is a friend who won't lie to you and play you and pretend. A real friend will tell you what is real and what is right, whether you like it or not. Everybody else can be, again, playing you, pretending and performing and, you know, putting you on a pedestal when they know they're trying to put you underground. A friend will tell you the truth. When you go there, you know, a friend say, well, how do I look? A friend say, you look toe up. And you might get mad momentarily, but that friend loves you enough to tell you the truth. Look, if you were, look, if I were you, I'd go take that off because you look messed up. You ain't going nowhere with me looking like that. Friend will tell you something that, again, may not necessarily be something you want to hear, but if a friend loves you with the kind of love that God expects a real friend to love you with, that friend will be faithful enough to be real with you and pure enough to be truthful with you. Even though it may hurt your feelings momentarily, you will respect and know that that friend has your best interest and has what we term and deem your back. One of the things about a real friend is a real friend is always faithful. Faithful. Faithful in the context of the very word and the essence of the word itself. Faithful. Not just faithful in the sense of being there for you, but full of faith as relates not only to the relationship, but the best that they see in you. A friend is not someone who just sees you for the external benefits or values of being a friend, but has somehow a connection to a kindred spirit on the inside, a friend who loves you for the real you and not the made up you. Amen. A friend who's so faithful that they understand who you are, what you are, and even what you're trying to be in the context of the reality of knowing you underneath the skin, a real friend. Now the word says, a friend loveth when? A real friend loveth at all times. Now listen to this. When you understand the context of this, it means very simply that a real friend will love you continuously. They may not love some of the things you do. They might not love the way that you act. But the reality is they love the person in spite of the problems. And one of the things you've got to understand is that you can be real with a real friend. Now, there are some folk that you have around you, and I can tell you right now whether or not you got a real friend. If you've got a real friend, you can be who you are without pretense, without compromise. You can be who you are and real with them as if you were with yourself. And never have to pretend, put on, perform, or be somebody you're not with a real friend. You don't have to have, and a real friend is not associating with you because you do have. A real friend can live in a mansion and you can live in a shanty. and they are just as comfortable in your shanty as you are in their mansion. A real friend can have and never feels like he or she is more than you because they have and you don't. A real friend will be there, support you, and be all that they can be to you in helping to enhance and bring the best out of you. The kind of love that's demonstrated in this verse here about a friend, and notice it's contrasted with a brother. The word says, a friend loveth at all times, but what about a brother? The Bible says, and a brother is born for what? Adverse circumstances or things that go wrong or troubles or problems, etc. Now listen at this. A brother or family relation will be there when troubles rise, when things go wrong, when something happens. A brother is going to be there to help another brother or sister or family member out of a situation because we are family. Family. You've got some family folk who do not necessarily associate and fellowship with one another, but because of the family ties, whenever something goes wrong, they may not communicate every day, they might be across the country from one another, but if they hear my sister's in trouble, my brother's in trouble, pick up the phone and that brother does or that sister does his or her part to make sure that it is well with the other one. But it is not necessarily the same relationship as a friend. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. You got some family folk who don't even speak to one another. Who don't even like one another. I've heard some family folk talk about family members like they were talking about an enemy. I say, y'all got the same mama and daddy. Because you act like y'all are stepchildren that don't like one another and you got issues. I'm talking about blood-born brothers and sisters cursing one another out lower than a dog, treating them indifferently. And yet the Bible says a friend loveth at. How many times have you had a real friend who was there when family wasn't there? Some things you could share with a real friend that you couldn't even share with your family. Some things you share with a real friend and you share with family, and yet a friend stayed there through the storm and through the rain and through the troubles and through the struggles when family was not even there. And yet I know when I have a situation, a circumstance, an adversity in my life, family is supposed to be there for me. Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know him, don't you? His name is Jesus. He is a friend. Now listen at this. Jesus said because he loved his friends, he laid his life down for his friends. Then he says, if I lay it down, I'll come back and take it up again. Yeah. Jesus wants us to understand that a real friend goes to and even through the end of your situation or your circumstance. And when it's all over, the friend will still be there when the smoke clears. Yeah. That's the kind of friend that loveth with a love like God. That kind of love is born out of an agape love or a godly kind of love. That's an everlasting love. That's a love that loves you when you're unlovely. That's a love that loves you and sticks by you and supports you when you make the wrong decisions and the wrong choices. That's the kind of love that'll be with you and understand your hurt underneath the skin. And sometimes they know that you don't need them to say nothing, but just stand there and be with them while they go through and process what they're going. A friend, a real friend, doesn't have to say, I told you so when you fall, but they reach down and pull you and hold you and help you understand I'm here with you. Don't have to like the choices you made. Don't have to like the situation you're in, but love you in spite of it. That's a godly kind of love that we should experience in a real godly friendship. That kind of love.
Yes, that only God can produce, that kind of love that only God can authenticate, that kind of love, because I need you to understand that God gives real friends. When you've got that kind of friend, you've got a friend, a real friend. And you can call that friend day or night. You can depend on that friend because that friend is faithful and full of the love of God. Let me show you, if you will, an example of friendship with a love like the word is talking about. It's a powerful friendship. And it's, turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. One of the things that I want you to understand about this text is that Ruth is a cameo story of love and devotion and friendship and even redemption. And it is set in the days of the judges, and it's a story about a Moabite woman who forsakes her pagan heritage in order to cling to the people of Israel and to the God of Israel. And because of her faithfulness in a time of national faithlessness, God rewards her by giving her a new husband whose name is Boaz, and a son, Obed, and a privileged position in the lineage of David and in Christ. And she is the great, great grandmother of David. Let's turn, if you will, first chapter, and let's look at verse 6. This is after Naomi's husband and her two sons have died. Verse 6, the Bible says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-laws, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Now Naomi was pronouncing her blessings upon these two daughters-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, and said, "Listen, go back to your mother's home, to your native land. You've been a kind person to my sons, and you've been a kind person to me. Now they are dead. You are released from the marriage vows and the covenant, and you are free to go back." But listen here at what the word says. The Bible says, again, verse 9, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Verse 10, "And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Now listen at the difference now as Naomi explains something to Orpah and Ruth. Verse 11 says, "And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Verse 14, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." Orpah said, "Mother, since you put it like that, she kissed her and said, "I love you, but I'm going to see you later. I got to go then." Now listen to this, because there is a clear difference, because we're talking about a friend. Now, not only, and the interesting thing about this is that you understand that Ruth's name means friend.
And so because of that same reality, she loved her with that kind of love that a friend loves with. And so when she was bidded to leave, to go back to her mother's house, to go and to marry and go on with her life and to have a fruitful and productive life, Ruth chose the friendship of Naomi over a husband or returning back to her native land and a friend, because she had seen Naomi lost not only her husband but her two sons, and she was there as a friend. And not only was she there in a relationship as a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, but it escalated and elevated to an even higher relationship, to that of a friendship. And so when Ruth saw the plight of Naomi and loved her with the love of a faithful and a true and a real and a pure friend, she refused. The Bible says she clave to Naomi. Orpah waved to Naomi. And listen at this, because I want you to see what the word says. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Listen, Ruth, let me go. You go on. You're a young woman. You've got life to live. Go on. Follow your sister-in-law. I understand you love me, but I don't have a life to give to you. Look at what Ruth says in verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Verse 18, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her." In other words, she said, "I'm going to shut up." You know, love is so powerful, it will cause words to cease when people know real love is demonstrative. It is demonstrated. You know, you can say, "I love you," but when you show that you love, it causes the one who's trying to turn you or to try and give you another option or another end. When that love is demonstrated, love always wins out. Naomi could not say another word when Ruth demonstrated not only in word, but indeed her friendship, her faithfulness, and her love for a woman who she esteemed highly and loved her with a love that was never ending. My brothers and sisters, when you look at this story and see this story that depicts devotion, that depicts faithfulness, that depicts love, and that depicts friendship, you begin to understand that real love, the kind of love that the word speaks about in a real friend, is very few and far in between. That's not the kind of love you find in every friendship and those who call you friend. Be careful, first of all, of calling everybody friends, and be careful about those who call you friends. Because Jesus was clearly, in the word of God, the friend of Judas, but Judas was not the friend of Jesus. And friendship is a relationship, and if friendship is going to be productive, and if it's going to be powerful, and if it's going to be all that it is to be, it's also got to be mutual. There can never be just a giving, 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 and a taking, taking, taking. There must be a giving and a taking. There must be a juxtapose of positions. When I'm up and you're down, I help you. But then when you're down and I'm up, I help you. You help me. It's a working together situation. It's a loving the person beyond the problem. Some of us like to attach ourselves to folk who are prosperous, who are blessed, who are on top, and nothing's wrong with that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be a friend to you just because you desire to attach yourself with them. A friendship, like a real relationship, must offer something beneficial to both parties who are involved.
If you want to be my friend and bring nothing to the table, you're not looking for a friendship, you're looking for a mentorship. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? I said, if you don't bring anything to the table in the terms of a friendship where it is mutual, you're not looking for a friendship, you're looking for a mentorship. You want to see how I do what I do to get where I am and have what I have. You're not really a friend, beloved. And so if that's your desire, I say, listen, I'd like to study under you. I'd like to be your apprentice. But don't come talking about you won't be my friend and you ain't got nothing to bring to the table. Friendship, like real relationships, must have a mutual bond of that is given one to the other, one from the other. And real friends love with the godly love that is everlasting and enduring. Let me also help you understand what the word says, and I'm bringing this to a close. Go back to Proverbs, if you will, and I want you to see what the word says in chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Now, when you understand that the Bible says that hatred stirs up strifes, plural, wherever there's hate or hatred, look for trouble. Because hatred has the ability to stir up trouble and or strife with its very presence. See, when you hate somebody, something on the inside of you becomes restless, peaceless, and certainly without the love of God being present, you do not have that God desires you to have function and flow in, and that is His love. And when His love is absent, hatred participates within the one who hates like a destructive dynamo. You can't hate somebody without doing damage to yourself. Martin Luther King said on the issue of love and hate, he said, I've decided to love because hate is too great a burden to bear. I wouldn't let nobody make me hate them so much that it runs up my blood pressure, gives me ulcers, makes me not sleep at night, lose my appetite, see them and my joy diminishes. I can't have peace when I think or hear their name called. I won't hate nobody that much that I can't look at my enemy and love them with the love of God and do good to them. And the word says that heap coals on their head. If you want to make them mad with you, love them when they don't love you. Fight fire with fire, fight fire with water. You don't need to keep an argument going, mess going. You can squash it with love. Let a fool be a fool by himself. Because if you stay in that frame of thinking, you then will come, as the word in Proverbs says, foolish, like the person you argue. Don't ever argue with a fool. Tell your neighbor, don't argue with a fool. Why, Pastor? Because you become foolish. Usually you're talking about something foolish that don't make no sense. It's coming from a fool, and when you participate, you join the ranks of the foolish. Listen at this, and I'm closing. Turn to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be going there several times in this month. But turn here, and I'm closing, because here's what's important for you to see. This word says, but love covereth all sins. And in the 13th chapter in verses 4 through 8, you'll find these words that help you to understand that the cover of love is not a cover up. The cover of love is not a compromise. And the cover of love is not a condoning of sin. It is a canceling out of the sins of the sinner. Jesus Christ himself loved us so much so that with his blood he covered all of our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our faults, our fractures, our frailties, all of the things that makes us less than lovely or lovable. And look at what the word says. Verse 4, charity, translated as love, suffereth long. Talking still about the love of a friend. And Jesus is this friend with this perfect agape love. And is kind. Now, usually when you suffer,